Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I'm watching football again, Damon.
Wow.
For some reason, every time we record, it's in the middle of an Arsenal game.
Nice. Well, I mean, we usually record on the same day, so. If it's a Wednesday, you. Why do you always play on Wednesdays?
We seem to be playing all the fucking time. There's too many games. I'm not really enjoying any of them. I would just like to... You know when you're playing like a sports game on the older Xbox or whatever, you can do like just simulate the end of the season. Just simulate to the end of the season. If I can hit a button to do simulate to July, I would. I've had enough of it.
It gets a little much. Gets a little much. But, you know, here's the thing though. It's even if it's just on, it's just, I don't know. Like if you like it, then it's hard. You know, how can you say no? How could you say no? But yeah, sometimes you're just kind of like the games kind of blend into each other. It's like, what am I doing? Know what I did today? I had to get concert tickets today, Joel.
Yeah? For which concert are we going to?
So, you know how Cheryl's into the old K-pop stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, some dude from BTS? BTS.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like the designated ticket getter in the house. Because she has no fucking idea. These were the most expensive tickets I've ever bought in my entire life.
Fuck. How much?
Joel, I'm embarrassed to even say it. I got to be honest with you. I'm embarrassed to even say it. I'm guaranteeing you, the day I see you this summer, just slap me right across the mush because I deserve it. Just take a guess. Take a guess how much two tickets were. Two tickets. First level. At the Barclay Center, the same arena that we saw NXT.
Oh, I'm going to say in total $200.
Oh, God. Please. Not even close.
Oh, geez.
You're not even in the city that the ballpark is in.
Oh, fuck. Double that?
Oh, come on.
No, it's no way.
Joel. Keep going.
$500 altogether.
Altogether? No. Keep going. That's not even one ticket. That's
no.
Swear to God. Not even one ticket.
Holy shit.
Keep going.
$600 per ticket.
Keep going.
This is nuts.
I know. You're telling me. She's going to be working the poll for fucking every weekend.
This is nearly 1 month of income on Patreon for us. This is ridiculous.
I know. I'm burning through our profits. No, I'll spare you. It is, with fees, mind you, with fees, it turned out to be $800 a ticket.
Oh, my shitting Christ.
I can't believe I did it. I can't believe I said, sure. Joel, I don't even know who this clown is. I don't even know what I couldn't name a song. Couldn't tell you.
So this is not actually BTS. This is
no.
Some sort of spin-off from one person of BTS.
Well, because apparently, from what the news that I know of, they have to serve time in the military. So only about, I want to say half, maybe less, of the actual members are out of serving in the military. And next year, apparently, all of them are out. But this dude's just doing a little.
I thought you were like going to see the draft dodger or something.
That'd be great. Yeah. No. That's what I said. I said, like, couldn't they get out of this? And she's like, no, apparently not. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the Ticketmaster. You got tickets. And I'm looking at the number. And I'm like, I cannot believe. I mean, at least for her, she knows, she loves them. It's her favorite, blah, 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 blah. Great. Okay. Me? Joe, I want to be able to pick this fucking guy out of a police lineup.
You can't say no to her because of right. All the money you've spunked over the years on wrestling, which I'm sure she views as equally stupid.
Correct. And here's the thing. Like, in our house, she probably, not probably, she controls the money. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Hey, like, if you told me, how do you pay the mortgage? I'd be like, I have no fucking idea. I have no idea how this happens. Does it magically come out of the bank? I don't know. So I said, what's my limit on these? And she kind of just looked at me and I was like, all right. I know how to spend money. I know how to spend money. I got in the queue. I was 8,000th in line in the queue. But then I'm looking online and there's people showing screenshots of like 85,000. Dude, it's at the Barclays Center. It only holds 19,000. So I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck?
Did they do like the dynamic pricing for?
I don't think for this. No. Because it came like when you were in the queue, that's when they finally let you know how much the tickets were. The cheapest ticket, like face value, not including fees, was like $80. And you're like, We're sitting up in NXT seats, right? Yeah.
So have you got really good seats then?
They're not that great. We're on the side, first level. So she can see, which I can't get floor because she'll never see. She's too small. They're okay. It's not like for $800 – I should be fucking lodged in that dude's asshole. Not for nothing. I should be peering out of his ass looking at everyone else on stage. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe it. But again, you know, it's not for me, it's for her. But I feel like it's a waste of money for me. You know what I mean? Like this means nothing to me. Like I spent $800 for nothing.
And do you think you would enjoy watching that concert more or less than you enjoyed watching Matt Riddle versus the Velveteen Dream with me, NXT TakeOver?
You know, I might like this. I might feed off the BTS crowd energy and enjoy it a little bit more. I mean, listen, I kind of feel bad because I'm also kind of, you know, there's plenty of people that would love to go. But, you know, my fat ass is hogging up a seat and I could give a shit. And I'm doing it because, you know, I got it. Like, she's not going to take a train up to New York. No, fuck it.
Right. She not got any friends that would like to go?
She's a 50-year-old woman. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to go with her to go see BTS, you know? No. And especially not at those prices, right? So if there's anybody listening that wants to go out with my wife, very good. It doesn't sound good. You know what? I take that back. You're not going. I'm going. I don't trust you perverts. Yes. But then again, I have to drive. I have to navigate the fucking traffic and all that horseshit. But again, it's her favorite. Like, what am I going to say? Like, I don't care. You know the money better than I do. You'll figure out how to fucking pay it. I just can't believe I paid it. That's really it. I've never paid for any event that much. Never. Never. So... welcome to poverty. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. All right. So, pro wrestling, right?
Is she into, like, Korean stuff in general or just
a little bit, the music? A little bit. So, when we were
talking... Has she ever asked to go to Korea?
Well, here we go. So, she's trying to parlay a little Tokyo thing into a little South Korea thing. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I would go. Food looks tremendous. Everything looks pretty fun. And she follows, like, we watch, who do we watch? Jolly, you know, Jolly, the show on YouTube, the YouTube thing. Right.
I know Squid Games. That's it.
Okay. Well, it's not that. But it's a guy who lives in London, but he used to live in Korea and can speak Korean. And I don't know. So we were watching like him and like his series and shit. So, yeah, she definitely is trying to fucking swing that. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know how we're paying for anything now. Just fucking need $1 tickets to see some fucking jabroni. I have no idea who he is. J-Hope. J-Hope is his name. Not J-Cast. J-Hope.
And I just think, like, tickets to see Hiroshi Tanahashi's last ever professional wrestling match will just be a fraction of that. Life's not fair, is it?
Like, I would never pay $800 for a wrestling ticket, period. I don't care what it is. Like, I don't care if – I don't care. $800 seems like – here's the thing. I don't think I can enjoy something that much. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'm trying to think, like, if God himself made an appearance at the Wells Fargo Center, would I pay $800? Probably not. But the guy catch me next time. Yeah. Yeah. I'm as stunned as you are right now. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck, but we'll figure it out. She'll figure it out. She'll listen.
Right. Have we actually started recording yet? Oh, we have started recording.
Yeah.
Okay. We did a countdown. I was just thought this is all bonuses for the live listeners. But all right. Chris Evans is in the house. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. Hey, Chris. By the way, I wanted to get a hold of Chris because, as you well know, I have my base now and I'm, you know, farting around, I have a little online lessons, all this shit. And I was looking for baby steps, a base tab possibly for baby steps. So if Chris Sampson could send that along, I want to learn how to play Plunkett's baby steps. So see if we can make that happen, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Well, I suppose I should do the intro. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the CBJ cast. I'm Joel. That's Damon McDonald. It's Wednesday, 22nd of January. 2025. This is episode 346. I want to start with just a plea to anybody who listens to the show and interacts with us on Twitter or X. You know, people who sort of comment on stuff or send us questions. Please migrate over to Blue Sky, because I do have a Blue Sky. It's at thesuperjcast.bsky.social, because I don't feel good about doing anything on Twitter anymore. I don't feel great about sending traffic and supporting a literal Nazi. And I hate to get all political, but also, like, fuck that guy and don't use Twitter anymore. I think I've been thinking about this for a while, and I think this might be the tipping point. Like, seeing that fucking clown up there on stage doing, like, literal Heil Hitler salutes, I was just like, yeah, it's time to stop using this website.
Yeah, truth be told, I haven't paid any attention to anything. I have heard like that.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, he was on stage and he was like, "I'm throwing my heart out to you," and you know, I mean, you know, he could probably have done a better gesture. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah, I've seen more subtle dog whistles from fucking David Finlay and Gay Pearson. But not that they're fascist. I mean, like, because they're doing the woof woof like dog stuff.
I hear
a terrible analogy. I take it back.
Really? No, we're gonna let that one. We're gonna let that one fester a little bit. Yeah, I mean, do whatever you gotta do. I mean, truth be told, I forgot it was even like inauguration time, onigiri notion time. I didn't watch any of it. I mean, why would I? I haven't watched any of them anyway. But I literally forgot it was even a thing. And I was like, oh, okay, that's right. Are we still here? Are we still on planet Earth? Did it get renamed? I don't know. So
I think you might get deported at some point.
Oh, good. So, good. Can I come with you?
Move to Japan, yeah. Yeah, me and you will go over there and join Kieran and just set up a new life.
Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, I know it's chaos, but yeah, I mean, Blue Sky, go and knock yourself out. Yeah.
Not the good kind of chaos, not the, Hiroki Goto chaos.
Yeah. 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 It's a weird world we live in. That's for sure. But, like I said, I'm so exhausted with it. Like, it's just, I feel like 10 years has taken off my life in 10 years, and that made no sense. it's just exhausting. Like I just
don't have the energy to rage against it anymore. Like a few years ago, I'd be like, oh yes, get on the soapbox and be like, come on, we've got to do something. But no, they've won. They've beaten me, and I'm just like, ah, fuck. Oh, well, yeah, I'll just, you know, get back to my wrestling and my football.
Right. It's just, look, here's the thing, and say what you will, and this is the only thing I'll say about it. That the by the will of the people, that's what happened, right? So that this is, as one Public Image Limited would say, this is what you want. This is what you get. So, whatever. I just don't have the energy for it. I really don't. I just don't. So I've just done my best just to be like, all right, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm too old. I feel like I'm too old, and we'll let the younger generation figure it out because it's their world anyway. So it's like, figure it out. Figure it out, kids.
Can I also use that excuse? Am I old sure. enough to wash my hands of the situation like that? Because that sounds very tempting.
Because again, I can't sit and sweat and, you know, think of the things. Okay, well, is that good? Is that bad? Is that indifferent? Is no, that
you destroy your mental health doing that?
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. So it's just like, again, and here's the thing too. It's, you know, I don't know. You know, I feel like my prime is well past. This is for other people to pick up the mantle and carry the torch and fix what needs to be fixing. And until that happens, then whatever. But again, the majority of the people spoke, and this is what it is. And okay, this is what you want. This is what you get. So we'll figure it out.
And what better way to take your mind off things than by signing up to our Patreon? $5 will get you into the deli where I yesterday dropped some juicy hot pastrami with some injury updates, some interesting stuff that not reported anywhere else on the planet with my incredible sources. Like if people knew where that information came from, it would
their heads would explode. Yep.
And $10 for bonus audio content. You get to listen to this show live, and I've got some stuff planned. If I can rouse J. Michael from his torpor, then we'll get something on his New Japan Primer. I was thinking of doing just a episode where I read through all of the backlog of questions that I've accumulated over the years. So there's going to be some that are hilariously out of date, which I think would make for a good show. And also predictions. So I'm going to leave that for one more week. So anyone can submit a prediction on the Patreon. You don't have to be a subscriber or in any of the pay tiers to submit a prediction for New Japan in 2025. But at the end of the month, I will do show where I'll go through all of those and give my thoughts on them. So some little things you can get if you sign up on the $10 feed, which the main benefit of that is feeling good about yourself, that you'll be helping me and to a much smaller extent, Damon, get to Tokyo at the end of the year for the Hiroshi Tanahashi retirement show. Cause that's what we're aiming for here. So that's get on board, please.
Yeah, that is the goal. I mean, it's getting there and seeing some history and meeting everybody again and kind of getting back into that thing. I'm actually excited. I'm pumped. So, again, no money has been exchanged as of yet, but I know when we're in that mode, you know what I mean? In the house, I know where that's happening. So, anything that can be done to help, have a good party in Tokyo, you'll be invited. And if you can make it as well. So we'd love to see you. It'd be fun. I can't wait. I also have an idea for the Patreon. I'll throw it to you off the air. And you tell me, and you give me your temperature if that's something that you think people might be interested in. All right. So I'll leave it at that.
Yes. I've not even seen the idea, but I'm saying yes, let's do it. I'll do anything I will do.
Let me throw it by you first, and then we'll figure it out because it involves pornographic image. No, it does not. again, I just want to make sure that you're good with it. And blah blah blah. We'll see what we do from here.
Right. Let's just. We are, of course, talking today about our year-end awards, but we will touch base with modern day New Japan. I say modern day. I mean, we're only going back 1 year, but with what's been going on recently in New Japan, because we had the Yuji Nagata anniversary show. But to be honest, there's not a huge amount to say about that. But it was fine. I like Yuji Nagata. It's nice to see him get a celebration, but the match itself was just absolutely fine. You could close your eyes and imagine what it was, and it's exactly that. I say the more interesting stuff has been coming at the preview stuff for New Beginning. So, moreover, today's show, which was at the Korakuen Hall, the top two matches I thought were very good. So we had Hiromu, Naito, Shingo and Tsuji defeating Gedo, Ishimori, Driller Maloney and Gabe Kidd. So quite a lot coming out of this. First of all, at the end of this match and at the end of the other LIJ versus War Dogs match at the Nagata anniversary show, after the bell, I think it's Naito has just been holding, putting submission moves on Gedo and then refusing to let them go, like having to be dragged off. And that's been very funny. And it made me think, I wonder if Naito could extend his career by just being an absolute shithead. Not a heel, but just forgetting about having to do high intensity, intricate wrestling sequences and just being an absolute knob. And I think people would enjoy that a lot. So I think he should basically like become Kenta, like late stage Kenta. And I think
late stage Kenta. I can't believe you're advocating for that. Okay. I mean, you could. I mean, people have changed up their style due to injuries and age and wear and tear and all that. So truth be told, it probably is the smartest thing for him to do. Like I'll say truth be told one more time. I'd be happy if I never saw another Destino in my entire life. I really would. So if he's just going to play the role of ultimate dickhead, babyface dickhead, that sounded like The Sopranos where he goes, I'm the motherfucking fucking fuck that runs this. They're in the mall. Remember this. I'm the motherfucking fucking fuck. I mean, if he can add a couple of years to his career, that'd be the smart thing to do for sure.
Ishimori also seems to be fully aligned with War Dogs at this point, and it's making me wonder if the other Bullet Club, the sort of Chase Owens, Kenta, it's just them two at the moment, isn't it? And so, to a lesser extent, Bad Luck Fale. I think that might be dead. Like, as far as I know, Kenta's done with New Japan.
Yes.
Oh, Arsenal have done another goal. Excellent. Chase Owens was in Tokyo for Wrestle Kingdom, but didn't even get a spot on the Rambo. And I'm sure that's not for want of trying. So I'm wondering if they've just sort of quietly phased out the non-War Dogs section of Bullet Club. So we've just got War Dogs at this point, because Ishimori seems to be fully aligned with those guys. And which sort of raises questions about what the future would be if Driller is going up to heavyweight, and I don't know if that's confirmed or if he's just sort of doing the open weight nonsense at the moment, but maybe you could get like a Clark and Ishimori junior tag team. That would be quite cool. I don't know, but
well, they need a junior, feel that then?
So
just sliding him in that role, because if he is moving up, Driller is moving up, which he should. I mean, him being a junior is preposterous.
He has cut his hair. I don't like his new haircut, Driller. He's shaved off the long, greasy locks, and now he's just got a very generic-looking haircut, and I dislike it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know why a lot of the guys have that long, maybe not necessarily the wet look, but it helps hide them when they call spots, and they keep the, you know, when, it's a nice... sleight of hand, if you will, the hair. They can use the hair to do all kinds of fun stuff. There you go. Fun fact.
And the highlight of these shows has been the interactions between Gabe Kidd and Yota Tsuji. Gabe Kidd, it feels like he's kind of reaching his final form. Just looks like a fully actualized version of the wrestler we all hoped that he would be. He just looks like $1 million. He's got a new t-shirt out, which is sort of like a version of the lion mark, but with his face on it. And it almost makes me think, could this guy be a future leader of Hontai? As ridiculous as that sounds, but wow. He just seems to be the guy that is embodying all the pride and the hopes and the dreams of New Japan Pro Wrestling fans at the moment in a way that just is a lot more authentic and confident and cheerable, if that makes any sense, for New Japan fans, because he just looks like an absolute badass at the moment. He's got his new tattoos, he's got his new Alex Coughlin inspired trunks and his new boots, and he's just looking thick and muscular, just built like a brick shit house. He just looks like the man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... Look, I think when they announced the Wrestle Dynasty match in him and Kenny, it was almost like, ooh, they're really giving this guy a shot. And the fact that he knocked the ball out of the park. Yeah, I mean, people are just ready to... I don't necessarily give him the key to the castle, but he's up there.
And it feels like he's sort of moved, but he's evolved beyond the stage of,
yeah,
you know, getting in arguments with fans, like calling them fucking pussies and insulting people's mothers and stuff. It feels like he's above that now. And I think he's sort of carrying himself in a way that he's sort of carrying himself like almost like a statesperson for New Japan Pro Wrestling in a weird way.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Charlton probably feels the same way. You know what I mean? You know, it's the same. I don't know if you check your Twitter feed. Gabe Kidd signed by Tony Khan. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, fuck. Ah, well, yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
No, I mean, listen, they had – I don't think that they realized what they had in him, New Japan, that is. And, you know, at every little flag post or, you know, whatever, marker, you know, he blew it out of the water at every little checkpoint. And once again, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that New Japan just got out of his fucking way and let him do what he thought was the right thing to do. I don't know if he even knows what he's going to do 5 minutes before he goes through the curtain, to be quite frank. But, yeah, he does feel a little bit more evolved. And I think a lot of people were saying that, okay, he needs to make that next step. And I think that's happening. And the company sees it and it's happening. So, yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. Until I have yet to see evidence that he can't handle that workload and that pressure and being a guy, he's yet to let me down with that. And I think the company feels the same way. They're gonna ride him until it either dies or it takes off completely. And it's really up to him. Again, if New Japan stays the fuck out of his way, that'd be smart. He seems to have a good idea of what to do and how to do it. So,
and they do. That's what New Japan are good at, isn't it? They do keep out of the way and just let people do
a lot
their
of
thing.
Times. A lot of times, yes. But there are times where you're just like, what happened to that? Yeah, as long as they stay out of his way, not, you know, let him do his thing. I feel confident in him. I really do. I feel confident. So, New Beginning's going to be a nice little test too. Let's give him, see, at this point, I would say, let's see what he can handle. Let's see what let's see what lofty things he can do. And I think the first test of Kenny was, he blew the roof off the joint. And Kenny helped too, don't get me wrong. But yeah, we have something. I don't even think New Japan realized before that what they really had.
Yeah, and like I said, the interactions with Tsuji have been really good. They've got good chemistry, and I'm very excited for the match at New Beginning. And I'm almost a little bit concerned that Tsuji, for as charismatic as he is, might just get eaten up by Gabe, because there were some interactions at the end of their match today at Korakuen where Gabe just looked like the big star and Tsuji didn't. And I know this is a very small sample size, but just something to keep an eye on. I'd be really interested to hear what the crowd dynamics are, who the crowd gets behind in that match, because it, you know, whilst Gabe is sort of nominally a heel as being part of the Bullet Club War Dogs, feels like fans have been given permission to cheer for him. So it'd be really interesting to see how that organically builds during the match and how the wrestlers respond to it. So very exciting time there. And the main event for the Korakuen show today was very good as well. It was Despy and Goto against Zach and Fujita. So some tasty previews of the matches that are coming up soon, and really cool finishing sequence. Goto did manage to pin Zach, so I guess that means his chances of winning at New Beginning have just gone down the shitter. Right. But there were also some really good sequences between Despy and Zack, so that made me think, okay, well, there's your anniversary main event, so that's something to look forward to as well. But yeah, if you have the time, the top two matches from today's Korakuen show were very good, and we've got some interesting matches coming up soon. So tomorrow, also at Korakuen Hall, we have a card where there's not really that much to talk about, apart from the main event, which is Yoshihashi against Ryohei Oiwa, and that's Oiwa's first ever singles match main event with New Japan.
Wow. That's something. That's not bad. Who is he going against?
Yoshihashi.
That could be
the king of Korakuen.
Yeah. That's not bad. All right. That's not bad. I'll take that.
Do you think Oiwa needs to win that? Feels like we've got to start building
a
case for him to, you know, at the very least be someone who gets a spot in the G1. And I'm assuming he does get one in the G1, but these are the kind of statements you need to make early on in the year where you're like, this guy is above this guy.
Right. We establish a pecking order. Yeah, and I don't think it hurts Yoshihashi. I would like to see that. Let's begin that process of making him feel like he's something special, because he is. And I think a win over Yoshihashi is a good start at Korakuen, and then, yeah, let's go from there. I think he's got to be in the mix. You know, like, by the summertime, we have to be like, okay, he's a guy.
On Thursday, we have a show at the Sendai Sun Plaza Hall. Most interesting match will be the sixth match here, which is the Never Open Weight Six-Man Tag Championship match where champions... Who are the champions, Damon?
That is Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yes.
Old Bolton Olgan and...
Michael Elgin and...
Now...
What the hell is about Michael Elgin? I love the way the Japanese announcer said his name. It sounded like he was saying, my car air gun. My car air gun! I really enjoyed that, and I missed that.
I heard he found God.
Oh, did he? Okay, good for him.
That's my understanding.
And yeah, so yeah, correct. Well, you got two-thirds of it. I'm assuming you know the third member of that team.
It's not Yano. Is it Yano?
It is Yano.
That is Yano. There you go. See? Look at me, Mr. You know what they call me? They call me Mr. New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's what they call me.
You are the Shin-Nihon expert.
Yankoid, whatever the fuck
that is. Yankoid in Brazil.
Yeah, I had a dream about that, too. I had a dream that I met the guy. And like I said, I don't even know who that is. It was on Reddit. Obviously, they're not a fine American like I am. And I met him, and I was like, what the fuck is that? What was that all about? And he's like, I'm sorry, dude. But I don't, like, do you know what he looked like? He looked like he had, like, reddish hair, but he was balding, like, a receding hairline. Like, I don't even know where this guy came from.
Weirdly specific.
Right. Like, I don't even know where, why, like, who in my life would that be a thing? Like, fucking Ralph Mouth? maybe it was because Cheryl bought Henry Winkler's autobiography. She has a bit of a thing for Henry Winkler. It was her first crush as a kid, Fonzie. So she bought the auto, and she was talking about that. So maybe that was. And they were talking about how like the guys on the show were all got along, and some of them, you know, more than others. And maybe that was it. Maybe it was Ralph Mouth at the Tokyo Dome calling me the imbecile. Fuckface. All right, very good. Thank you.
If we're the sort of podcast that took random quotes out of context as our episode titles, Ralph Mouth at the Tokyo Dome would be the title of this episode.
I think somebody should cosplay that, coming with a little high school Jefferson High sweater. You know, be great. All right, very good. What's next?
They're defending the six-man titles against Sho, Yujiro, and Ren. It feels like they've defended against House of Torture about 17 times. Yeah, can I push you for a take on this match or a prediction?
No.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, good. I got nothing. I don't know. I don't even know how to, like, dance around it. You know what I mean? To kind of say something but not say something about it.
Okay, right. Let me pivot this into an interesting question then, right? So obviously this is Tanahashi's final year as a wrestler. He is never openweight six-man champion. What do you think is the correct way, the best way, to draw that reign to a close? Or, I mean, I suppose he didn't necessarily have to do that. He could do the Okada thing and just never put anyone over for it.
Yeah, I mean, he'll put people over. I mean, he's, you know, he ain't going nowhere. He's probably got more of a vested interest than anybody else. But
well, what's the best case scenario for the end of this reign and a team to put over to?
Yeah, I mean, are we really looking
for? Because it's not House of Torture, please.
No, you know what I mean? Like, who? Like, what? What are we bringing in? The fucking Von Erichs? I mean, I don't know. Like, does it? Would it matter? I don't know. But you would think it would, and you would think he might be a guy that could take a pinfall to have something be special about it. But I like, it's going to be some random fucking thing like them now. No idea. No idea. Look, if you told me they're going to just defend it periodically and then he's just going to hand over the titles and they'll have some kind of tournament thing for it, that would not surprise me. You could tell me that he gets pinned next week in a house show in Nagoya, and that wouldn't surprise me. They're never six man titles. Who the fuck cares?
I'm definitely overthinking this. All right, so that is the semi main event of that show. The main event is Yo Despy and Goto against Robbie Eagles, Fujita, and Zach. But you know, just a nice little preview of stuff to come. Then we have another double header at Korakuen next week. So starting Monday, February the 3rd, we got Tanahashi versus Daiki Nagai as the first match. That's an interesting one. And the main event for that show is the NJPW World TV Championship match, the rematch between El Phantasmo and Jeff Cobb. And I've not heard anything about Jeff Cobb re-signing with New Japan Pro Wrestling, so I'm almost wondering if that was a bit of politicking from Cobb about not wanting to lose to Phantasmo in America and then therefore dragging this out to be having the rematch in Korakuen Hall where he will put over El Phantasmo, because I think El Phantasmo is going to win. Okay. But that's just popped into my head about him maybe just refusing to be defeated on the San Jose show. But
yeah. Well, you know, he's that cultural icon in the United States, Jeff Cobb. You know, he's right up there in the Mount Rushmore pro wrestler.
Well, maybe he thought getting pinned would damage his negotiating power.
What negotiating power? Jeff Cobb has negotiating power? Trust me, I like Jeff Cobb. Negotiating power? Come on. Look. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they did a switcheroo here. I'm just saying. It wouldn't surprise me. Even though, again, we haven't heard anything about him re-signing or anything like that. Who knows? Maybe. Maybe he has, should I say. Maybe he hasn't. There was a lot of rumbling, though, about him moving on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a big fan of Netflix. He likes to Netflix and chill. Yeah, I think ELP. I'll take ELP just for those little nuggets.
And I think nice for him to have something to, like a big moment to celebrate with the Korakuen fans who do love him. So that'll be a nice moment for him.
Yep. Yep. I still can't believe he's back. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a, I hate to say feel good story, you know, but it is it does. Like, yeah. You want to root for the dude. So yeah, he'll have my rooting energy. And, also my prediction as well. So how about that? Double whammy.
And then Tuesday, also at Korakuen Hall, main event, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. El Desperado defending against the challenger, Kosei Fujita.
Ooh.
Do we see a shock upset in the mix here?
Oh, I would love it. That's my boy.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
God damn, that would be lovely. Why don't I see it? Do you see it? I don't see it.
No, I think there needs to be more of a chase for Fujita. I think he's going to win it eventually, but it would feel rushed to do it now.
Did you talk about one Do Key in the Discord?
What, in terms of his injuries?
Correct.
Yes, but I'm not going to say what it is. You've got
to pay $5
if you want that.
Yeah, we have estimates of time out, what happened, not to bring it back around. I cannot believe we have that in our – when I was reading some of that stuff, dude, I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. I cannot believe it's happening. So
specific, like, and you know, they're usually very. They keep those cards close to their chest when it comes to injury news. But I've got Doki, Yuya, Jake Lee, Hanare, Callum Newman. If you want to know when they're coming back, get your fucking wallet out.
That's it. That's right. Feels good to be the king. All right.
I have no shame. I will monetize literally anything that I can. Right. Well, that's it. That's all the New Japan stuff. Let's talk about our year-end awards.
Oh, I like that. It's always fun. I'm glad that we did it. Let me ask a few questions before we begin. How was the turnout?
That's a good question. Do you really want to know?
All right. I guess not. Was it less or more than last year?
I will find out for you exactly.
No, you don't have to. Maybe even?
I don't know. I can't have to look it up. What is it? Google Forms? Is that the voting thing?
Yeah.
Google Forms?
Yeah.
Or is it Google? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it?
Come on, Grandpa. Let's go. Just say it was the same. Just say, it was about the same. I wouldn't know the difference.
I don't think it was. I think it was less. So we've got 129 responses this year.
It?
Yeah. And last year, we got a 248.
Wow.
Massively down from last year.
Yes. What a significant drop. Our listenership is plummeting like a rock. Oh, well. What are you going to do? I consider those the important votes. How about that?
Yeah.
All right.
So, should we just start with Wrestler of the Year then? Start with the big ones.
Whatever you want to go. You want to start there? We can do that.
Okay, so Wrestler of the Year. So last year, the winner was Will Ospreay. Second place was Zack Sabre Jr. Third place, Kazuchika Okada. So two of the Wrestlers of the Year signed up by AEW. Cheers, Tony. This year, I'll do it in reverse order.
Yes.
Let's do top three. So third place was Gabe Kidd. Second place, a wrestler who did not even feature in the FSM top 50 wrestlers, one David Finlay.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I think it's a great job by our listeners because.
What do you think about the fact that he's not in the FSM top 50? Do you think that's an oversight?
What, the FSM? What's that?
Good question. Let's skip that then. Nobody's.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
That's fine. I'm just going to leave that there because an absolute, honest to God, unintentional burial, which is what they deserve for leaving.
I just don't know what the, I don't know what it is. I don't know. What,
like, it's a list of the 50 best wrestlers of the year.
From who?
a FSM. Panel of people that some of whom we know.
FSM.
Now, to be fair, the people, Joe and Rich are part of that panel, and they did vote for Finlay, so they're on the right side of history. But
there you go.
Yeah. It did leave me very confused to see New Japan wrestlers like TJP made the top 50,
okay,
but David Finlay didn't. And I like TJP.
Right, I thought he was stronger. Yeah. I mean, look, I think I get it if Finlay doesn't stick with people. Like, I kind of get it. Because if you're expecting AJ and Kenny and all that, like, you're probably
you're an idiot.
Well, yeah, but and also you also like have like it's not the same, and it's okay for it to be not the same. You can still be very good, not the same. But no, I'm happy that at least our people recognize the year that he had, and he might have a bad year this year, but you can't discount 2024 for him. So good for him. Second place. Well done. And who is our wrestler of the... Oh, did it work? Oh, it didn't work. There it is.
Wrestler of the year was Zack Sabre Jr.
And
by quite some distance. So, yeah, top three wrestlers of the year, all white guys and two Brits.
Okay.
So, yeah, talk to us, please, about Zack Sabre Jr., wrestler of the year.
Well deserved. I think he was from that year's Wrestle Kingdom, you know, everybody raved about that match all the way through New Japan Cup, all the way through G1, all the way through. And, you know, the idea of him winning the title, I guess the only knock would be the fact that the jury is still out on his drawing ability as champion. But I think, you know, I'm gonna stick my fingers in my ears and la la la. He deserves it. I think this was his year. And last year, think of this though. Last year it was second place, right? And this year first. That's pretty remarkable. Yes. He's always in the mix for the past couple of years. I think. And you said it was a landslide, right? He just blew it away. Yeah, and rightfully so. He had the best year of any New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, so he got 101 first place votes, and Finlay, who was in second, got 10 first place votes.
Wow.
So not close by any means.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad. I think that's literally what I voted. I think right up and down. I think that's where I went. So yeah, that's good. Nice.
Match of the year. So last year, top three were first place was Osprey Omega from Wrestle Kingdom. Second place was Naito versus Osprey from the G1. Third place was Shota Umino versus Osprey. So a hat trick of Osprey matches. That match from Power Struggle. This year, third place. If you're hoping for strong New Japan representation, you're going to be gutted here. Third place, Okada versus Danielson from January 4th. Mm-hmm. Second place, this is a pleasant surprise, the War Dogs versus United Empire Dog Pound Steel Cage match.
Nice.
From New Beginning in Osaka. And the winning match of the year from the very same show, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson.
Wrestler of the year, match of the year. Not bad, not bad. I'm glad that that multi-man hour of violence got in the mix, because it was early in the year, and you know people tend to kind of forget or think recency bias. Maybe that match was unlike most anything that we've seen in New Japan for quite a long time. And I rewatched it maybe about 3 weeks ago, and I think it held up. Like it's just like the hour flies by, so. Good job, listeners. I'm trying to remember who. I don't have my notes in front of me. What my third place vote was, but the first two were that. So again, we're on the same page, kids.
Yeah, so these two Danielson matches. I mean, I like Bryan Danielson, but he doesn't resonate with me as much as he does with most of the people who voted at this. I guess I didn't have any of the Danielson matches in my top. No, I had. What did I have? I can't remember. It's because I recently voted in the Voices of Wrestling Match of the Year poll.
Right.
And there you have to do 10 matches.
Right.
And for that, I did a vote for
Chief J. Strongbow.
Who did I vote for? I'm trying to find the email that. Oh, here we go. Your ballot has been received. So, yeah, my top match of the year was the junior tag match, the Ichiban Sweet Boys against Catch 2-2.
Yes. That, you know what? That was my third. Yeah, that was my third.
So that was my first. Second was Takeshita versus El Phantasmo from the G1. And third place, I had the War Dogs United Empire steel cage match. And then as a close fourth, Yuya versus Takeshita from the G1. And then Gabe Kidd versus Henare, the double KO. Mm-hmm. Then Yotsuji against Goto, New Japan Cup. Zach beating Tsuji in the G1 final. Goto beating David Finlay in the G1. And Henare beating Hiromu later on in the year. And then Zach defeating Gabe Kidd in the G1. So those that was my top 10.
Okay. You don't watch anything else?
Yes, I did. I watched lots of other stuff, but I didn't like it as much as the New Japan stuff.
I love it. I love it. Love it. Yeah, I still got to do that. That's like I don't know. I felt bad because it's like that's really the main thing I watched all year. So I don't know if like I just feel bad voting like because I don't feel like an informed voter, just like everyone else in America. I should just vote.
Yes, not stopped anyone else, has it?
Right. What am I thinking? Why am I overthinking this? I'm fucking
the people who are supposed to be the informed voters have left David Finlay off the FSM top 50. So
thank you.
All bets are off.
I know. We have a wrestling electoral college, I believe. Votes are weighted more from the websites that people like. All right. Cool. All right. What's next, may I ask?
Next is the show of the year. So last year, the show of the year was Wrestle Kingdom 17, followed by Sakura Genesis and then Dominion. This year, show of the year was in third place, King of Pro Wrestling, second place, Power Struggle. Struggle, and first place Wrestle Kingdom 18, which a bit of a surprise to me. That I find it interesting that the two matches from New Beginning in Osaka were the top two in the Match of the Year poll, but then
make sure
you show, yeah, that the New Beginning on Osaka finished fourth behind all those others, which, you know, I get. I think for me, Power Struggle top to bottom was just such a great show that will probably be my number one. But I mean, I can see why Wrestle Kingdom came in that highly. But I don't know, for me, my memories of that are just a bit tainted by everyone fucking off and going to AEW. Yeah, just like the heavy AEW involvement at the top end of that card just makes me less keen on it than others.
I mean, I can understand why people would say Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, it was a good show, don't get me wrong. And it's their biggest show of the year. And it's the show that gets the most eyeballs. And if you're looking for big event feel out of New Japan, it's going to be Wrestle Kingdom. So I get it.
Massive feather in the cap for Sanada.
You know? Absolutely.
I had to wrap my brains there and be like, what was the main event of that? Oh, yeah, it was Naito Sanada. Because I could remember the Osprey Mox Finlay match, and I could remember Okada Danielson. I was like, well, what was the main event? Oh, yeah, it was those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I understand why. I think I had that actually third. And then I think I had Power Struggle first. But I get it. I mean, I'm not gonna fault somebody for saying that was show of the year. It was good. It was a damn good show. But yeah, I'm kind of sailing with you in the same boat in the sense of it's a little. I don't know. I don't want to say it was because of the AEW vomit, but AEW vomit made it less enjoyable for me. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm murmuring. All right. Good for you.
Tag Team of the Year. Last year, the winners were Bishamon, followed by Catch 2-2 and the Dream Team of Okada, Tanahashi, and Ishii. This year, in reverse order, the top three Tag Teams of the Year. Third place was Catch 2-2. Second place, the War Dogs team of Clark Connors and Driller Maloney. And first place, Ichiban Sweet Boys, Kosei Fujita and Robbie Eagles. Now, this is a bit of a funny one because it was a very uneven year for tag teams. There weren't really many teams who, from January to December, had the output, the consistency of delivering at a high level, because it was just very bitty, wasn't it? Like, different tag teams were featured more prominently in sort of shorter points during the year. So Ichiban Sweet Boys were not really a serious thing until the latter half of the year, but I guess they finished so strongly, and that final match was so outstanding that that's won them a lot of votes. I don't think I would have them first personally. I think just in terms of consistency, it's a coin flip between Connors and Maloney and Catch 2-2. But I think I'd just Catch 2-2 would edge it just by virtue of having that truly outstanding match towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, aside from the junior tag tournament, like, what else? What am I missing? What other matches that they have that I'm missing? Ichiban, Sweet Boys.
I can't think of anything.
Right. I mean, I know I'm the Yankoid imbecile, but I can't remember. That stretch was really great from them. But what else did they have besides that? I mean, obviously that was enough.
They didn't have any matches until their first match of 2024 was at the end of May. And that was against a couple of Young Lions.
Right. Okay. I mean, that they had
a failed title challenge against the War Dogs at New Japan Seoul in Hokkaido in June. And then nothing until Super Junior Tag League. I'm sorry, that's bullshit. I can't believe they've won.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the bad body job. Yeah, I mean, look, I truth be told, I had them in there, but I did not have them as number one. Strange. That junior tourney run was really fucking great, and those last couple matches were fucking amazingly good. I do like them. I don't know if the entire body of work, though, is there. Strange that it's all junior-ish. Like, there's not a heavy in there, is there?
Yeah, Bishamon finished fourth, and TMDK, Nichols and Hayes finished fifth.
Okay. That might be a first.
It wasn't a very good year for heavyweight tag wrestling, to be honest.
Yeah. No votes for our never six-man tag team champions?
I did not put them on the ballots.
Oh, what a disgrace. No wonder only 145 people voted.
All right. Junior Heavyweight Wrestler of the Year. So last year, the winner was Hiromu, followed by Despy and Master Huato. This year, third place was Hiromu Takahashi, last year's winner. Second place was last year's runner-up again, El Desperado. This year, the winner, Junior Heavyweight Wrestler of the Year by landslide, was Doki.
Nice. Wow.
Well deserved. Oh,
yeah.
And well, I should point out, he also was on the ballot for Wrestler of the Year.
How'd he do?
By popular demand. He finished in last place. So just Wrestler of the Year. So it was first place Zach, then Finley, Gabe Kidd, Tsuji in fourth, Goto fifth, Shingo sixth, and Doki seventh. But the fact that people voted for him. He got two first place votes, 11 second place votes, and 20 third place votes. The fact that there were that many people thinking of Doki in their top three is a feather in his cap. And yeah, by some distance, Junior Heavyweight Wrestler of the Year, and well earned, well deserved.
What sucks is that he might even fucking place this year. That sucks. I mean, again, not because the talent's not there. It hurt. Fingers crossed. Yeah, that's good. What an amazing story. Somebody's got to write. Has anybody written the fucking rags to riches story for that guy on any of the sites that we are privy to? Voices of Wrestling. Somebody's got to write that fucking story of him just being nobody and debuting, and everyone like it felt like it was kind of ironic that you know, people liked him because he was so fucking sleazy. And now look at him winning awards, titles, Goddamn. Good job, buddy. Good job. Well earned.
Next on the ballot is the unsung wrestler of the year. So last year, the winner was Henare. Second place, Doki. And third place was T-Talon. This year, the unsung wrestler of the year in third place was Tai Chi. And very narrowly, pipping him into second place was Robbie Eagles. And first place, our soon-to-be IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Hiroki Goto, unsung wrestler of the year.
Good job. He had a good year. He had a year nobody expected from him. Let's put it that way.
Didn't know he had it in him. Did not know he had that in him.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you rewound the clock, yes, of course. But now, you got to tap on the shoulder. And we need you. We need you. And we came through in spades. Good job, man. He's probably still underrated, you know? Yeah, good job. He deserves it. I'm with you. I'm with you on it.
So we changed things around a bit this year because we had a most improved rest of the year, and I can't remember what the name of the other award was. I should probably look it up. But basically, we combined those two awards into a new award called Breakout Performer of the Year. So last year, most improved rest of the year, the winner was Shota Umino, followed by Cabe Kidd and Master Watto. But this year, in our newly rebranded Breakout Performer Award, the third place was Doki, second place David Finlay, and the winner, the Breakout Performer, was Gay Kidd.
Wow, there you go. There you go. I don't think that's any surprise. Yeah, if anybody had a breakout year, it was him. And he just took it and ran with it and built momentum and, yep, got rewarded for it. And let's see what 2025 gives him. Exciting times for Gabe. Exciting times for us. So, yeah, I have zero problem with that one. None.
Just trying to look what I called it last year. It was, we have most improved wrestler and breakout star.
Okay.
So this year we just combined this breakout performer because there was just too much overlap between the two. Right. Shout out to Walker Stewart coming in fifth place. So Walker Stewart, a bigger breakout performer than Oiwa, Fujita, Henare, Tsuji, and Oleg Bolton. So there you go.
Well, I was going to call him and let him know, but then I just bailed out.
Oh, dear. Referee, get in there. Okay. A new category this year, moment of the year. I don't think I did that last year.
No,
definitely did not do that last year. So moment of the year, third place, Sanada saving Naito from House of Torture after the Wrestle Kingdom main event. Second place, Goto winning in front of his kids.
That was
good. And first place, Zack Sabre Jr. winning the G1 Climax.
Yeah, I do vividly remember voting for that as number one. Because I think, it's hard. Look, I don't want to take the emotion and the energy of a building and that moment. But him going out into the crowd at Sumo Hall, title in the air, you know, just everyone and him just hitting all corners. Like, that was a moment. And you really thought, like, wow, this guy's got the fucking company in his back pocket. And again, has it translated into ticket sales? Maybe not. Maybe it has. New Beginning sold out, so that's good. But, man, that moment, yeah, I thought – because I was rooting for him from the fucking jump. That was the defining moment of the year. Yeah, absolutely. That and Okada fucking walking past Great Okan. That too. Those are the two things that stuck out to me.
I should probably share this document with you so you can have a look as well. I'm going to do that right now. Some other stuff that was notable, just that the fact that it was in the ballot in the first place. Fourth place was Shota getting booed when challenging Zach. Fifth place, Great Okan going on a run by beating Naito in the block finals. Seventh place, Super J Cos was right about Okada, which was my first place. That's
seventh place.
Seventh place, yeah. Just off the bottom was Great Okan eating an entire lemon in 30 seconds, not getting the love that it deserves.
I should have been number one. Yeah, I did that one. That was a great. I would have loved it.
Right. Biggest disappointment of the year. Last year, the winner was the AEW relationship. Second place was the dropping of the Okada versus the Zoomers story. And third place, the pushed wrestlers. So Sonata, Finley, Gurus of Destiny. This year, biggest disappointment in third place, John Moxley's IWGP World title reign. Second place, Alex Coghlan's retirement. And in first place, booking of ex-WWE wrestlers Nick Nemeth and Matt Riddle / first half of 2024 booking.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I mean, even with all the, you know, the AEW Tony Khan nonsense, I think that when that was announced, again, I get why they did it. I understand that they thought they had two names that people could recognize. That, but the way that they just came in and just after that show, you're just left looking at the TV and with your hands in the air, like, what the fuck just happened? What are we doing? Nobody dug it. Nobody liked it. No one liked it. I'm with the people on that one. That was because at that moment you did not know what the fuck was happening to the company that you watch, and it was somewhat, I'm not gonna say frightening. Frightening is a bad word, but you were just like, oh, what's happening here? What? Who made this decision? Why are we doing this? I'm with the people on that one.
I'm a bit surprised that the top New Japan wrestlers exodus to AEW and Okada's retirement road booking were not placed higher. But I'm getting suspicious now. I'm wondering if it's just a load of AEW freakazoids have voted in this and we've not got enough shit on freaks. Yeah. I don't know, because I would have had those two things a lot higher personally. But
They're disappointments, but I think people are numb to it at this point. Maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, they've just totally disconnected from it. Maybe.
Yeah.
If you told people in March, I'm sure that would be top of the list though.
Right, our favorite rest of the year. So last year winner was Will Ospreay, second place Zack Sabre Jr., third place Tetsuya Naito. This year, third place, we'll go in reverse order, favorite rest of the year, Shingo Takagi. Second place, Gabe Kidd. And first place, Zack Sabre Jr.
Wow. We obviously don't have a lot of Japanese representation. Shingo rocking the house, of course.
Tsuji finished fourth. Naito dropped to fifth. Despy sixth. Goto seventh. Fujita very high, eighth.
Okay.
Yuya ninth. David Finlay tenth.
Hmm. Okay. I can see people hopping on the Gabe Kidd train. Nothing wrong with that. Who was number one?
Zach
is my favorite. So you got my vote.
I just like sort of scrolling down these and seeing people who got like just there's the people who got no votes, like 0 points, where, you know, people just don't give a shit about it. But the people who got sort of like 1 point or 2 points, I find that very interesting. So
yeah.
Tiger Mask 4, so someone voted Tiger Mask as their third favorite wrestler. Kenta got 1 point, he got a third place vote. Jado got a third place vote.
Come on.
Sanada, now last year he got 45 points. This year he's got 2 points. So he's dropped right down. On the same level as El Phantasmo, which I feel is very harsh on El Phantasmo.
Yeah.
And you've got, Yuji Nagata, 3 points. Titan, 3 points. Jake Lee, 4 points. Honma, 5 points. Taku Michinoku, 5 points.
He got 5 points.
Honma, someone voted Honma as their favorite wrestler. Again, this is supporting my theory that someone's just fucking with a ballot here.
maybe. And you know what? I'll tip my cap to you for being a fucking massive prick. But if you are legit, please reach out to us. If that is you and you are legit, I need to meet you. I need somehow. I got a strange feeling you're gonna look like fucking Ralph Mouth. I'm just going to say
that. Daiki Nagai, 6 points. Someone voted Daiki Nagai as their favorite wrestler. Someone very much ahead of the curve there. And yeah, so that's that. Now, least favorite wrestler of the year.
These are good. Yeah, let's hear it.
Last year, the winner of the least favorite, the dubious honor of being winner of least favorite wrestler of the year, Bad Luck Fale. Second place, Chase Owens. Third place, Evil. This year, there's a new king, Damon. The king is dead. Long live the king. The third place, yet again, was evil. Second place, Bad Luck Farley. First place, everyone's least favorite wrestler of the year, Chase Owens.
Wow. Wow. He's not my least favorite. I mean, you know, not my least. Wow. That's kind of – aside from evil, no other House of Torture representation? No.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge House of Torture. So okay. Evil's third, Yujiro fourth, Dick Togo fifth, Ren sixth, Sho seventh.
Perfect. Okay. Everything's right with the world then. Okay. I was panicking there. Who else is on that list, can I ask? Anybody that shouldn't be.
Okay. So I'll go through the list. So there's all those House of Torture guys. Then there's Kenta. Very fair. High. Yeah. A lot of hate for Kenta. Jado. Shota Umino.
Okay.
Sanada.
Okay.
Callum Newman.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck has he done anybody?
Yeah, that's... I think that's really harsh, Callum Newman.
Yeah.
The DKC. What have people got against the DKC? Yano. Rocky Romero.
Wow.
20 points. So yeah, people are turning on Rocky.
You know who voted there?
So someone whose name rhymes with
his horrible
Dalton, creating lots of burner accounts.
All right. Well, who else is on this?
Geno, he's getting it as well. Rocky and Geno, right up there, getting it with both barrels. Henare, TJP, really? El Fantasmo, Bushi, Finley, Gay Kid, Taguchi, Honma, Tenzan, Alex Zane. What's he done?
Right. Tsuji.
Who's voted as Tsuji as their least favorite wrestler? Naito, someone's put as their least favorite wrestler. Jacob Austin Young, again, very harsh. What's he done?
Yeah, what's
Fred Rosser. Tanahashi, someone's put as their second place vote for least favorite of the year. Jake Lee's got three third place votes. Yo, someone voted Bad Dutito third place. Driller. Hiromu. Kevin Knight, Robbie Eagles. These are all people who just got 1 point. So this is like one third random place vote. Right. Just people who just like don't really care for them. Not particularly keen on. Like, who's thinking? Yeah, Robbie Eagles. He's up there my top three least favorite wrestlers.
Like
Yoshihashi. What?
What has he done? Again, if you told me.
Again, it's just AEW Freakazoids just ruining, spoiling the ballot.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I'm surprised Gabe Kidd got something.
I think I should ban Americans from voting.
Hey,
I think it should
that's
be.
When we don't have a good record of voting, that's for sure.
This is just a shit ballot this year. It's all rubbish. We got fucking AEW wrestlers and AEW matches all over the shop. I just throw it out. This one's trash. This one's garbage.
All right. Look. The awards are on thin ice, according to Joel. But here's the thing, though. Correct me if I'm wrong. Don't we have that every year, though, when it comes to most hated? Like, there's just like random strays, and you're just like, well, how did that guy catch a bullet? You know?
It's one of my favorite parts of the ballot. It's just like these really strange things. Like, well, how could you dislike that guy? They don't absolutely hate them. They don't dislike them enough to give them a first place vote. But just like,
third,
I don't really care for that guy.
Yeah, very mild and mid on Kevin Knight. You know what I mean? Come on. But it is, truth be told, it is one of my favorite categories because of that. Like, I want to do the investigative reporting on, again, who's giving a third place vote of most hated wrestler to, like, Robbie Eagles. You know what I mean? Unless it's some, like, I don't know, random girl that he broke her heart or something. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know. Maybe it was his tattoo artist. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just kidding. I bet tattoos. So don't worry about it. All right, very good.
Now, last one is favorite New Japan faction. So last year, the winning faction was LIJ, followed by United Empire and TMDK. This year, third place is LIJ. Second place, Bullet Club War Dogs. And first place, TMDK.
Very good. Yeah, they are my favorite faction as well. I think they... You tell me, did they win by a significant margin?
They got sort of nearly double the score of Bullet Club War Dogs in second.
I think that's fair. I really do. I think it's fair. I think 2024 was their year. I felt like they were the most interesting. As a faction, I felt like they were the most faction-like, it felt like. Not a lot of, all harmony, no issues, no, this guy doesn't really fit. I don't know. They all felt like it was a cohesive unit. I like them. I think they're good. Well-deserving of the win.
All right. Can you see the document? Have you got access to the custom awards
so
section?
When I went there, let's see.
Scroll right down. It starts in row 292.
All right. Well, I just requested access because I do not have access to this.
Oh, you can't even look at it?
No. Well, I know.
Let's see. Oh, I've got it here. So Google Drive, Grant access. Who is Grant access?
It's
right now.
Lou Grant. Lou Grant, did I just say? If anybody gets who the fuck Lou Grant is, I'll give you $5. Don't Google it. All right, let me see.
So I'm not going to read all of these. I'm only going to read the ones that amuse me.
Okay.
Bag of Socks of the Year, show to Umino.
Nice. I like
correct.
That.
Best Pants of the Year, Shota's White Sweatpants in Tag League.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was good. Okay, good.
That was the show where everyone's knees got injured, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe it was just really cold. Biggest Headband to Hide Receding Hairline of the Year Award, Chase Owens. Biggest Money Mark of the Year, Tony Khan.
Okay.
Not going to silence us, Tony.
Yeah.
Get fucked. Chant of the Year, Royal Quest to the tune of Another Brick in the Wall. Hey, Shota, leave them girls alone.
That's a lot of work.
Child Scarer of the Year, Shota Umino.
I like that
Chris
one.
Grayling, being so incompetent at your job but somehow still employed and get more jobs. Chris Charlton, that's unfair. He's not incompetent.
That's terrible. All right. Okay. I see the Damon is on here.
Like Costume of the Year, Mummy Henare in the cage when he had all the bandages on him.
The Yeti.
The Yeti!
Yate. Dad of the Year, Hiroki Goto. I got that one. Daemonism of the Year, not for nothing. That is true. I do say that a lot. Dumb Bitch
Fraser
of the Year.
What's
that guy?
No, you go.
I was going to say.
Fraser of the Year, good Fraser. Sorry, bad Fraser. You've not won the Fraser of the Year award this year.
Good Fraser, yeah. Episode of the year of the Kevin Kelly interview. Oh, I like that.
Was that last year? I don't think we did an episode with Kevin Kelly in 2024.
Yeah.
Or maybe we did.
No, we did it with Walker, didn't we?
Yeah. Maybe we did both of them. I don't know. Oh, no. We did a Kevin one because that was the one that the fucking kept getting aggregated by the website
that's right.
That should not be named.
Was that last year? No, was that at Christmas time the year before, though, right?
Yeah, that was technically late 2023 rather than 2024.
I'll give him the pass, though. I'll give him the pass.
Insensitive moment of the year, Taiji Ishimori's Nazi salute from Fantasticomania 2024.
Yeah,
that was there's a lot of that about these days.
I know, we're all in the mood. All right.
Probably get himself a spot on Donald Trump's cabinet.
you're it's okay. Just ignore it. Just ignore it. Let's see here. Off top
most
of the
unappealing,
year.
Most unappealing AEW career saved by New Japan of the year, the scapegoat.
That's good. We do have some funny fucks, I'll tell you that.
Most well-timed pre-G1 injury, Shota Umino. No comments.
Podcast quote of the year. I have a disability.
<That's great. laughs> Political prisoner of the year, Chris Charlton. Free Chris.
Free Chris. My God.
Sabotage of the year, evil unplugging the English website. Tangelo 619 of the year, Tangelo in the New Japan Cup.
So good. Webmaster of the year, Chris Charlton.
two votes for that. Website administrator of the year, Chris Chung. Website of the year, Medium. All right. I can't beat that. Wrap it up. We're done.
Oh my God. We're done? All right. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Bye.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture, and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.